Well, this morning, we're actually going to take a break. A couple weeks ago, we started off our new series, The Force Awakens, an exciting series through the book of Acts. But we're going to take just a little break this morning. And so if you have your Bibles, you can open them up to 1 Chronicles 29. It's there in the Old Testament. We're going old school today, all right? And so the reason we're going into 1 Chronicles is every year around this time, we do something called our kind of annual business meeting, where in the midst of our service, we just take some time to share about our finances, from the last year, take a look ahead at the next year. And when we first started doing this at the very beginning, we would do the financial part, and then we would stop, and then we would switch gears, and then I would share a message. But last year, I started doing something just a little bit different. I actually started incorporating the message kind of into our financial reports, and this year I'm going to do the same. One of the things that the Lord has put on my heart about Dallas Foursquare Church is that we would be a teaching church. And what I mean by that is that when we make decisions and as we do things as a church, I want to make sure that we take time to teach and to share why we're doing these things, okay? We don't want to be a church that just does things to do things, right? Well, that's how they've always done it. You know, that's how we've always... How many times have you heard that? It's like, who cares? Why do we do it this way? What's the purpose, right? We want to be intentional as a church. We do things because we feel either God has called us to do them or because it's biblical and we want to be obedient to the Lord. And so this morning I want to talk about the finances of our church and just the reality that we're all called to be givers. We're all called to give as a church as a whole and as individuals. Now let me just say this as we start this morning, okay? This morning's not a fundraising campaign, okay? It's not a plea for people to give more to the church, all right? That's not what this is about. As you've heard me say before, this is God's church. And we trust Him to provide. We do. He's in control. He takes care of us. And so today's message is really about understanding just the principle of stewardship for us as a church, how we steward what God gives us, but also for us as individuals. And so if you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them up again to 1 Chronicles 29. And you can follow along with me. We're going to read verses 1 through 18. 1 Chronicles 29, verses 1 through 18. This is what it says. It says, "Then King David said to the whole assembly, 'My son Solomon, the one whom God has chosen, is young and inexperienced. The task is great, because this palatial structure is not for man, but for the Lord God. With all my resources I have provided for the temple of my God, gold for the gold work, silver for the silver, bronze for the bronze, iron for the iron, wood for the wood, as well as onyx for the settings, turquoise, stones of various colors, and all kinds of fine stone and marble, all of these in large quantities. Besides, in my devotion to the temple of my God, I now give my personal treasures of gold and silver for the temple of my God, over and above everything I have provided for this holy temple. 3,000 talents of gold, gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver for the overlaying of the walls of the building, for the gold work and the silver work, and for all the work to be done by the craftsmen. Now who is willing to consecrate himself today to the Lord?' Then the leaders of families, the officers of the officers of the tribes of Israel, the commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds, and the officials in charge of the king's work gave willingly. They gave towards the work on the temple of God 5,000 talents, 10,000 derricks of gold, 10,000 talents of silver, 18,000 talents of bronze, 100,000 talents of iron, and who had precious stones gave them to the treasury of the temple of the Lord in the custody of Jehiel the Gershonite. The people rejoiced at the willing response of their leaders, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord. David the king also rejoiced greatly. Verse 10, David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, "Praise be to you, O Lord, God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and on earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. We are aliens and strangers in your sight, as were all our forefathers. Our days on earth are like a shadow without hope. O Lord our God, as for all this abundance that we have provided for building you a temple for your holy name, it comes from your hand and all of it belongs to you. I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. All these things I have given willingly and with honest intent, and now I have seen I have seen with joy how willingly the people who are here have given to you. O Lord God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, keep this desire in the hearts of your people forever, and keep their hearts loyal to you." A lot of stuff there in that scripture. But we're going to take a look at that and this morning and kind of break it down. And as we look at these scriptures this morning, there are really three questions that I want us to answer when it comes to this idea of giving. These are the three questions. Why do we give? How do we give? And what do we give? Now, at the end of these verses, sorry, I've got something in my eye here. At the end of these verses, we'll learn that giving is a sign of loyalty to God, right? We learn that. It says in verse 18, the last verse we just read, "O Lord God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, keep this desire." Now, what desire is he talking about when he says that, keep this desire? It's this desire to be good stewards, this desire to give. And so he says, keep this desire in the hearts of your people forever and keep their hearts loyal to you. So I believe a giving heart is the evidence that our hearts are truly loyal to God. And so I believe a giving heart is the evidence that our hearts are about His love, about loving Him. And I believe this is to be true because our finances are usually one of the last things that we're willing to give to God, right, in this world that we live in. And so when someone gives and is a good steward, I really believe that it's a sign of their love and of their devotion to God. Do we believe that God is who He says He is? Do we believe that His Word is true? Do we love Him? And do we desire to live out His commands in our lives? If so, this is what compels us to give. It's what compels us to be good stewards of what He's given to us. Which kind of leads me to the first question I want to answer this morning. And that question, as I said, is why do we give? And I think this is a great question because it helps us understand the foundational purpose of stewardship. And it really starts with us realizing the first thing here is that everything we have is God's to begin with. Everything we have, it's all His to begin with. Now, many people would argue that they've worked hard for their money, right? Isn't that a song, right? "I've worked hard for my money," something like that, right? Many people would argue they worked hard for their money, right? And their argument is, you know, they've worked for it, they've earned it, So it belongs to them. And this sounds like a good argument, but that's not what David tells us in this scripture. In verse 11 it says, "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and on earth is yours." Everything. Now, it's interesting. You know what that word everything in the original text, if you break it down, you know what it means? It's crazy. It means everything. Whoa. It means everything. So if we believe that the Scripture is true, this exposes kind of a fundamental flaw in our world's perspective. In this idea, well, I work for it and it's mine. You see, if we believe Scripture to be true, it means that our possessions, that our money, and that our lives, really, everything belongs to God, not us. And the reality is, we can even take it a step further, that not only does God own all things, but also everything we have is simply just a gift from Him. It's my second part there. It's a gift from Him. Why do we give? Because it's a gift from God. In verse 12, David goes on to say, "Wealth and honor come from You. You are the ruler of all things. In Your hands are strength and power to exalt and to give strength to all." So we give because in reality, He's the owner and creator of all things. It's all His to begin with, right? This is pointed out again in verse 14 as it says, "Everything comes from You, and we have given You only what comes from Your hand." Now, when we understand this truth, we realize that when we give, we're only giving God what belongs to Him, right? We're not giving God what was ours. We're just giving God back what was His to begin with. And for King David, this is an act of worship, this heart of giving here in this Scripture. He gives praise to the Lord in his giving. It's this act of worship. Oftentimes, as I kind of mentioned earlier, that we're guilty of viewing worship as simply this time up here when we sing songs. Well, that's worship. Now, what do you mean giving to God is worship? We view that this, a lot of times, for a lot of people, this is worship. That's it. But worship is far more than just that. I think it's important for us to understand that giving is just as much an act of worship as it is singing praises to God. It's glorifying Him. It brings honor to Him. It shows that we love Him and are devoted to Him, and that we trust that our lives, every aspect of it is in His hands, right? We're all His, even our finances. Why do we give to God? Because it's all His to begin with. Now, the second question I'd like to look at this morning is how do we give? And this is a tough one for us at times, because this one really deals with the condition of our heart. I believe it's important that when we give to God, we do it for the right reasons and the right way. Did you know that you can give to God, but do it in the wrong way? David and his people, they gave the right way. They gave generously to the Lord's work. In verse 14, David says, "But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this?" We're called to give generously. David and the people of Israel gave generously to God because God had given generously to them. And the thing I want you to understand is that the Bible tells us that we should give to God in proportion to how we've been blessed. Right, that's why the widow's mite, you know, that whole story that she gave more than anybody else, but she only gave what? Like 2 pennies. It's because she gave out of her poverty instead of out of her wealth. It's in proportion to how we've been blessed. And it's different for each person. Generosity is not about how much money we give. It's about our heart behind it. How we give. This is actually where the principle of the tithe comes from. In the Old Testament, they were commanded to give 10% of what God had given them back to Him, just to say thank you for the blessings that you've poured out upon me. Giving generously to God as He had blessed them. Now again, it's much easier for us to give generously when we remember that it's not ours to begin with, right? I remember, maybe it was a year ago or before that, I don't remember when it was, we did a little illustration. I asked Gary, I set up Gary, I think I gave him a 50 or 100 or something. And I was like, oh, you know, I need a illustration here. And anyone have a 50 or something? I can't remember exactly what we did, but he handed it to me. And then I said, oh, thanks, we need that for the youth camp fund, you know. And he said, keep it, you know, kind of thing. But it was all set up. I had given him that money. And it was easy for him to give away money that's not his in the first place, right? And so it's easy for us, you know, it's easier for us to give generously if we remember that it's not ours to begin with. And so one of the ways that we give generously, or one of the ways we give is by giving generously. And another way we give is we give willingly. You see, it's one thing to give, it's another thing to give willingly. Fine, God wants my money here. You know, how often is that? Oh, I don't have money to give you, God. Come on, why do you ask me for this? You know, it's one thing to give willingly. It's another thing just to give, right? We see two different scriptures in this passage that talk about giving willingly. In verse 9, David says, "The people rejoiced at the willing response of their leaders, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord." And then in verse 17 he says, "I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. All these things I have given willingly and with honest intent. And now I have seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you." God's desire that when we give is that we would give both generously and that we would give willingly. And it's this attitude of giving generously and willingly that shows really our heart. It shows our love and devotion to God. How do we give? We give generously and willingly. Now the third and final question this morning is what do we give? And there are three things that we can identify in these scriptures that we saw King David and the Israelites give. Verses 3 through 5 talks about David and his people giving gold and silver and bronze, right? Now, we don't operate in a lot of gold and silver these days. Unless your name's Ron Swanson, okay? Some of you may have caught that, some of you didn't. But nowadays, instead, we operate in money, right? We use money. Now, I know this is a touchy subject for people. Oh, pastor's talking about money again. Oh my goodness, this is the church again. They're just bleeding us for money, right? You know, and if I'm honest, you know, it's not just talking about money, that this whole message today can be a touchy subject for people. And I think the main reason it's such a touchy subject is because the church as a whole has done a horrible job in this area of talking about this in the right way. Let me say it that way. The church as a whole is often known for always asking for money, right? And we've created this mindset of, here we go again, right? The church once again asking us to open up our checkbooks, asking us to get out our wallets, to give money, right? And it's kind of sad because when we do this, there's a couple things that we do in the process. One is that we as a church, we fail to trust that God is our provider. We fail to teach people that, hey, you know what, why are we sitting here choking people out for their money? God's in control. He's our provider. He will raise things up if we trust in Him. And the second thing is we're failing to teach people that giving isn't about guilting people to bail out the church for their financial woes, right? It's about stewardship. It's about love and obedience and devotion to the Lord. We're teaching the wrong things in the church. God doesn't need our money, but He does desire for us to trust in Him and to give of our finances so that we can participate in extending His kingdom. That's what it's about. They were bringing this stuff into the kingdom. Why? To build the church. For God's glory, not for man's glory. And I know that's another problem, is sometimes the church is building the church for its glory, not for the glory of the Lord. And that's the problem of why this is such a touchy subject. But I want to say this, as we get into finances of our church here in just a little bit, you will see that we're a church that practices what we preach. We give almost 20% of our offerings that come in to global and local missions. 20%, that's a lot. I mean, God only asks 10% of us, right, of our tithe, and from that perspective. And we as a church, we give over 20% of our offerings to global and local missions. And that's because our council listens to the Lord. And they give generously and willingly to see God's kingdom extended in and through our world. And I truly believe the reason God continues to bless this church is because of that. Because of our willingness not to say it's our money, but to say, God, it's yours. How do you want us to be good stewards of what you've given us? You see, I learned a principle early from a great pastor and leader that I loved to listen to. His name was Ron Mell. And he said this one time, his mom actually told him this as he was leaving to Bible college. He said, if we want to be blessed, then we need to be blessable. If we want to experience God's blessing in our lives, then we need to be blessable. And you see, God blesses us so that we can bless others. When we become people who are about blessing others and giving to others, that's when God wants to bless us. Because we're being blessable as we're doing the things that He's called us to do. And so one of the things that we give is money. But the reality is we're also called to give other things. In verse 5, it tells us that the gold and silver was given. Why? So that the craftsmen would have the resources to build the temple. And these craftsmen, they were giving their gifts and abilities to the Lord. And the reality is we're called to give God our gifts and abilities. Now, I know many of us, we go, well, man, I'm not a particularly talented person. You know, what really do I have to give, man? I can't get up there and preach. I can't play worship. I can't, I don't like people, and so I don't want to usher and greet, and kids, oh my goodness, are you serious? I've got rid of mine. I don't need any more, okay? All right? Many of us, we think, man, I'm not talented. But here's the thing, all of us have passions. All of us have things that we're good at. And these are gifts and abilities that God has given us to use for His glory. We have to understand, anything God gives us, it's never just about us. Right? He's given us these things to use for His glory. And let me just give you a recent example. I had someone come up to me a few weeks ago after service and tell me that they wanted to serve, but wasn't sure how. Same thing. Well, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can do these kind of things. He wasn't sure how his gifts and abilities would enable him to serve the church. And so I began talking with him. And I found out that he worked with a sign and lighting company. Well, it just so happened that we have exterior lights all around the building, 20, 30 feet up in the air, that the average person can't get up to take care of, right? And we need them replaced and we need them repaired. And so as we talked, he realized that's something he could do. And so he's been bringing his company truck with this big boom, and he started changing out and taking care of the lights for us. It's his way of giving. It's his way of using his gifts and abilities for the Lord. And this is just one example. There's all sorts of examples of other people in the church who have helped in all sorts of ways than just Sunday morning, of serving, doing yard things, doing stuff around here, downstairs, painting, all those kind of things. There's all different gifts and abilities that we have that we can bring to the table. This is just one example. We all have gifts and abilities that God wants to use. And let me just say this. When I talk about giving our gifts and abilities, it doesn't just mean serving here at Dallas Four Square Church either, right? I'm talking about any way that we can give glory to God with our gifts and our resources, any way we can give back to Him, whether that's in your neighborhood, whether that's throughout our community, blessing people, helping people in different ways. Those are the ways that we give back our gifts and abilities. Which leads me into the final thing that I see that we're called to give according to these scriptures, and that is we give our time. And this is closely related to our gifts and abilities. Because if the craftsmen were to give God their talent in constructing the temple, it meant they also were going to have to give a good amount of their time as well. And I've come to realize in this crazy and hectic world that besides our money, our time is probably one of our next most precious commodities, right? There's just not enough time in this world. If we just had 30 hours in a day, right? But guess what? We would use that up too. It's saying, Lord, how do I be a good steward of the time that you've given me? If we're going to give our gifts and resources to God, then it means we also have to give Him our time. Because serving the Lord takes time. Loving others takes time. The truth is most things in life take time. And we have to be willing to carve out that necessary time to do whatever it is that God's calling us to do. Now, does that mean that maybe we need to cut out some other things? Maybe. But we have to be willing to do what we need to do the things that God's called us to do. As I shared earlier, everything in this world is the Lord's. And everything we have has been given to us by Him. Whether it's our money, whether it's our gifts and abilities, whether it's our time. And He has called us to give generously, to give willingly, to be good stewards of what He's given us. So that when all is said and done, we all get to hear those words. Well done, good and faithful servant. That's what it's about. It's about being a good steward of the lives, of the resources, of whatever it is that God's given us. So that when all is said and done, we hear those words. Amen. I want to pray real quick, and then we're going to take a few moments to look at our finances from this past year and kind of the future as we move forward. But I want to finish in prayer here first. Lord, we just thank you for this time. We thank you for this word. And Lord, I know this is a tough and touchy subject, Lord, to talk about finances in the church. But Lord, the reality is everything we have is yours to begin with. And the reality is if we want to be faithful to live the lives that you've called us to live, then it means we need to be obedient to you in every aspect and every way, that we can't read just the scriptures that work for us. We have to look at all the scriptures from beginning to end and walk those out in our life, Lord. And you've called us to be people who give, Lord, in more ways than just money, Lord, but that we are givers that give willingly and generously of what you have poured into our lives, Lord. We want to learn to be blessable, Lord. We want to learn to be a blessing to others, to take the things that you've given us, Lord, whether it's the resources, whether it's the gifts and abilities, whether it's our time, to take those things you've given us and use them for your glory, Lord, to see your kingdom extended in and through this world, Lord. And so we just thank you for what you're doing in our lives. We thank you for how you continue to move. and how you continue, Lord, to bring a blessing upon this church, Lord, as we seek with all our heart to be good stewards of what you've given us, Lord. And as you continue to teach us, we pray that you continue to help all of us here learn, Lord, how do we be faithful with what you've given us, Lord. We thank you for these things, and we just pray your blessing upon this word. May it penetrate our hearts. May it challenge us. May it encourage us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.